The scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew 26, 26 through 29. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
Good morning, church. As you can see, I'm not Pastor Jensen. He asked to be excused today for health reasons, but we are thankful that he is able to join us here this morning. Thank you. Thank God that he can take care of us. So this morning we're going to do something a little different while we're waiting for the projector to warm up. We're going to just simply meditate on some truths that are familiar to us. So we're going to read basically a couple of pages from Desire of Ages in the chapter on that very first communion service, that Last Supper. So I call it the pledge, and you'll see why. Let's bow our heads for a quick prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you fill us with your Spirit. Help us to be prepared for the lessons that you have for us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we start Desire of Ages 656. In partaking with his disciples of the bread and wine, Christ pledged himself to them as their Redeemer. He committed to them the new covenant by which all who receive him become children of God and joint heirs with Christ. By this covenant, every blessing that heaven could bestow for this life and the life to come was theirs. This covenant deed was to be ratified with the blood of Christ, and the administration of the sacrament was to keep before the disciples the infinite sacrifice made for each of them individually as a part of the great whole of fallen humanity. So as we continue reading, I encourage you just to go back to that first communion and let these words sink in, what it really means, what it means for us today. I don't mind if you close your eyes. You might have seen I like to do that to myself sometimes. I'm not sleeping. So feel free to meditate on these truths. Our Lord says, "Under conviction of sin, remember that I died for you when oppressed and persecuted and afflicted for my sake and the gospel's. Remember my love, so great that for you I gave my life. When your duties appear stern and severe and your burdens too heavy to bear, remember that for your sake I endure the cross, despising the shame. When your heart shrinks from the trying ordeal, remember that your Redeemer liveth to make intercession for you." The communion service points to Christ's second coming. It was designed to keep this hope vivid in the minds of the disciples. Whenever they met together to commemorate his death, they recounted how he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." In their tribulation, they found comfort in the hope of their Lord's return. Unspeakably precious to them was the thought, "As often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." These are the things we are never to forget. The love of Jesus, with its constraining power, is to be kept fresh in our memory. Christ has instituted this service that it may speak to our senses of the love of God that has been expressed in our behalf. There can be no union between our souls and God except through Christ. The union and love between brother and brother must be cemented and rendered eternal by the love of Jesus. And nothing less than the death of Christ can make His love efficacious for us. It is only because of His death that we can look with joy to His second coming. His sacrifice is the center of our hope. Upon this we must fix our faith. Let me just interject there. What is it that is the center? What is it that we must fix our faith upon? It doesn't say His sacrifice plus our sacrifices that we make for Him. It's very clear. His sacrifice is the center of our hope. The ordinances that point to our Lord's humiliation and suffering are regarded too much as a form. They were instituted for a purpose. Our senses need to be quickened to lay hold of the mystery of godliness. It is the privilege of all to comprehend, far more than we do, the expiatory sufferings of Christ. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so has the Son of Man been lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. To the cross of Calvary, bearing a dying Savior, we must look. Our eternal interests demand that we show faith in Christ. Our Lord has said, "Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you, for My flesh is meat indeed and My blood is drink indeed." This is true of our physical nature. To the death of Christ we owe even this earthly life. The bread we eat is the purchase of His broken body. The water we drink is bought by His spilled blood. Never one, saint or sinner, eats his daily food, but he is nourished by the body and the blood of Christ. The cross of Calvary is stamped on every loaf. It is reflected in every water spring. All this Christ has taught in appointing the emblems of His great sacrifice. The light shining from that communion service in the upper chamber makes sacred the provisions for our daily life. The family board becomes as the table of the Lord, and every meal a sacrament. And how much more are Christ's words true of our spiritual nature? He declares, "Whoso eateth My flesh and drinketh My blood hath eternal life." It is by receiving the life for us poured out on Calvary's cross that we can live the life of holiness. Let me interject again. This life of holiness, it's not even something that we offer to God as if it was something that He was going to be all that excited about. This life of holiness we receive from Him. So His sacrifice for us was the expiation, the propitiation for us, and also that is how we are to receive the life of holiness. And this life we receive by receiving His word, by doing those things which He has commanded. Thus we become one with Him. "He that eateth My flesh," He says, "and drinketh My blood, dwelleth in Me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent Me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth Me, even he shall live by Me." To the Holy Communion, this scripture in a special sense applies. As faith contemplates our Lord's great sacrifice, the soul assimilates the spiritual life of Christ. That soul will receive spiritual strength from every communion. The service forms a living connection by which the believer is bound up with Christ and thus bound up with the Father. In a special sense, it forms a connection between dependent human beings and God. As we receive the bread and wine symbolizing Christ's broken body and spilled blood, we, in imagination, join in the scene of communion in the upper chamber. We seem to be passing through the garden, consecrated by the agony of Him who bore the sins of the world. We witness the struggle by which our reconciliation with God was obtained. Christ is set forth crucified among us. Looking upon the crucified Redeemer, we more fully comprehend the magnitude and meaning of the sacrifice made by the majesty of heaven. The plan of salvation is glorified before us, and the thought of Calvary awakens living and sacred emotions in our hearts. Praise to God and the Lamb will be in our hearts and on our lips. For pride and self-worship cannot flourish in the soul that keeps fresh in memory the scenes of Calvary. He who beholds the Savior's matchless love will be elevated in thought, purified in heart, transformed in character. Now this is so important. I'm going to read that again. He who beholds the Savior's matchless love will be elevated in thought, purified in heart, transformed in character. How? If we want to be elevated in thought, purified in heart, and transformed in character, what is it that we need to be focused on? Is it each other and how really not nice we are? Is it our problems, each other's problems? Is it, you know, whatever bad thing there is? No. If we want to be elevated in thought, purified in heart, transformed in character, if we want to be holy, we are to behold the Savior's matchless love. We continue. He will go forth to be a light to the world, to reflect in some degree this mysterious love. The more we contemplate the cross of Christ, the more fully shall we adopt the language of the apostle when he said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. This one is from Spiritual Gifts, volume 3, page 228. The salvation of men depends upon a continual application to their hearts of the cleansing blood of Christ. Therefore, the Lord's Supper was not to be observed only occasionally or yearly, but more frequently than the annual Passover. This solemn ordinance commemorates a far greater event than the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt. That deliverance was typical of the great atonement which Christ made by the sacrifice of his own life for the final deliverance of his people. And lastly, we turn to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. This is the promise. This is the pledge that Christ has made for us. That by his life, by his death, by his intercession, we have an eternal inheritance waiting for us. And so we commemorate that pledge today as we have communion, as we partake of his flesh and his blood in symbol, that we may remember what he has done for us and that he promises to continue to do in us and the promises of what he will do for us in the future. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given Jesus as a pledge, as a seal, that we may be sealed in your glory, that we may have your character sealed in us. And we ask that you continue to work in us. Use this communion service today to help us remember, to help us internalize the truths that you have for us, the holy character that you have set before us, that we should pattern our life, our characters into. So we ask that you continue to work in us, that we may become like you, and we thank you that you have heard and answered our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.